Reading that this week about some friends of Jesus. Amen. And I'm glad he is my best friend. Certainly he'll be the best friend, my friends, that you'll ever have. If you have your Bible today, we want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 11.
Things were dark and I couldn't find my way. He was the light so I could see. It was him that kept me from falling over stumbling blocks thrown my way. He paid a debt for me that no one else could pay. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your mercy and grace. Please keep me close to you forever in your warm embrace. Please help me not to go astray and to serve you night and day. Just help me to be the example you would have me to be, that everyone could see that you live in me.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad he does live in us. He made us that promise when we got saved, when the Holy Ghost moved inside, there he is. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Luke chapter 11, is that what I said? Chapter 11. We want to begin with verse number 14. I'm going to ask if you would please stand with us today. We're going to read about 7 or 8 verses here. We're going to try to focus in on about 3 of those verses. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. That's Luke chapter 14, down through verse number 23. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God today. Now we pray, Father, you would help us to stand and expound by the preaching of the gospel today. Lord, we realize, God, we're too futile, and God, there's no way that we have power to stand on our own. But Lord, we realize that it is your calling that's upon our life. And I pray, Father, today, that in our weakness, your strength will be made perfect. I pray, God, you'd strengthen our voice this day, strengthen our frail bodies. And I pray, God, you'd use us by your power and your spirit, that someone today could be encouraged. Lord, we just ask these favors in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm interested this morning. I've been interested in it about all week. On this thought, the stronger man. The stronger man. Let's get the situation here. There is a person, does not say man or woman, that has a devil that is possessing their body. There's a lot of times where Jesus cast out devils. There's many places. I can show you a lot of them. But in this place, this devil had a dumb spirit to it. Not meaning that it was dumb as in stupid or ignorant, but it means that it kept the person to be a mute. They could not speak on their own. And the Jews believed that if you were going to cast out a demon, you had to find out the demon's name. I don't know why they thought that, but they did. In a parallel passage for this same scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 12, not only was this demon possessive of this person with a dumb or a mute spirit, but he also had a spirit of blindness. So neither could the man see, nor, or this person, neither could he see, nor could he communicate whatsoever. And Jesus was casting out this devil out of this person. And after he had done so, the person that was a mute began to speak, began to testify. And everybody heard it, and the people wondered, or they marveled. Not necessarily that they believed in Jesus, but that they were astonished that this spirit had gone out of this person, and now this person could communicate. So there's your first group of individuals, those that just sit around and marvel, all the time watching, hoping to see some miracle. The second group of individuals say, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. They said, he's doing it under satanic power, by the power of Beelzebub. Now, Beelzebub means prince of demons or lord of flies. That's what it means. I don't know if you've ever studied much about a fly, but I spent time on the internet studying about the life of a fly. Boy, they come out of a bad place. They live a bad life and they end up in a bad place. Amen? I mean, every time you look at them, they got their little legs. They're licking their little legs and what they're doing, they're vomiting on their legs to attach their food to it. They vomit on their food before they ever eat it. And you know how they live in feces. And the worst type of feces, the better type of feces. The smelliest type, the runniest type, is the worst, is the best type for flies. I'm trying to portray to you who this Beelzebub, the prince of devils, really is. And preacher, you're getting too graphic. Do you understand? Capiche? Are you there with me today? They are saying that Jesus, the Holy Son of God, is casting out devils by the Lord of the Flies, by the Prince of Devils, by a Satan himself. Jesus says to him, and that's the second group. The third group tempts him and says, well, you know, we know there's something happened here. We don't know. But if you're really him, we want you to show us a sign. That's verse 16. Says, we want a sign from heaven. In other words, you show us a miracle, then we'll believe you. Well, la-di-da-da, what'd he just do? He just cast a devil out of a man that could, or a person that couldn't speak, and now he's speaking. And if you're reading Matthew, now he's able to see. Don't tell me he's not just done a miracle, but that's the way it is. God answer your prayer, and then you want him to answer something else. Well, Jesus looks at him and says, listen, if a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. Satan's not going to go in and cast himself out of the place where he resides. It don't work that way. We want to jump all the way down to verse number 20. And there's a parable here about the strong man. And that's what we're interested in this morning. It's a little parable, but it has a great big message. And it's going to portray Jesus Christ as the victor. Look with me in verse number 20. Jesus says, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Jesus is being accused of casting out the devil by the power of the devil. And he says, I'm casting it out by the finger of God. That's what he says. Now that's an interesting statement this morning. I first want to look at that parallel passage to let us think about what the finger of God may mean or what it may indicate. We realize that the finger of God, you and I use the phrase, the hand of God. This is nothing more than the hand of God. Or we might say the will of God. Hold your place in Luke 11 and turn back with me to the book of Matthew chapter number 12. Let's read a parallel passage about this. This is Matthew writing about this same situation. We'll start reading in verse number 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. It does not say man or woman. It says one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Now, wait a minute, preacher. That's a contradiction of the scriptures. Well, was he dumb? Was he a mute? Did Luke lie? Was he a mute? He was a mute. Luke told the truth. Matthew tells us a little bit more. Not only was he mute, but he was also blind. Does that not mean it's the same person? Matthew just gives you a little bit more information. A lot of people try to see contradictions. There's not one. You might look at me today and say, well, you got a big nose and you need a haircut. Don't mean it's not the same person, okay? Are you with me? All right. He says he's possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him. Insomuch that the blind and the dumb, both and dumb, both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges." Verse 28 is our key. "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God." Do you see that? In Luke, he said, "the finger of God." In Matthew, he says, "the Spirit of God." Ooh, preacher, there's a contradiction. It's no more contradiction than the difference between Matthew and Luke on whether he was blind and dumb or just dumb. It's not a contradiction there. He was dumb, and he was also blind. Matthew gave you more information. So the finger of God and the Spirit of God are synonymous, are identical. Jesus, by the finger of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is Jesus God? He said, "I and my Father are one." That's what he said. If he's moved with the finger of God, he's being moved with the Spirit of God. Is the Spirit of God God? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All one or three, amen? So it is God that's moving. In fact, Isaiah 53 says, "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Who is the arm of the Lord? Who is it? Jesus. Who is it? The Spirit. Who is it? The Lord. It's His arm. He uses Jesus and the Spirit as His arm. All three are one. You're not going to be able to divide them out, okay? So He's working here by the Spirit. So why then, in Luke, did He not say the Spirit of God like was said in Matthew? Why did Luke see something a little differently or hear something a little differently that he recorded differently? I believe Jesus probably said both. The Spirit of God and the finger of God. They're both. So you tell me, why did he use the finger of God? Why does that statement jump out? Well, I want us to study that. Go back all the way to Exodus. Chapter number 7. I want us to study that just for a minute. "You can, I formed your mouth, I can speak through you." Still Moses was reluctant. So he said, "Okay, take Aaron with you." So Moses and Aaron, they go down there. And we pick up the story in chapter number 7, about verse number 9. "When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then shalt thou say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." And it did. In verse 11, "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments." So in other words, Aaron threw down the rod, threw it down, and it became a serpent, showing the miracle. But those devil-worshipping Egyptians, they did the same thing. Now one of them was by the power of God, and one of them was by the power of the devil. I'm just trying to get you to think with me today. This is thinking 101, Bible thinking 101, all right? So they did the very same thing. But verse 12 says, "For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." You see that? The Egyptian serpents was all swallowed up by the Lord's. Because the Lord is the stronger man. Okay? Now there's, you know all the miracles he did down there in Egypt to get them out, okay? Look at the second miracle. God tells them, said, "I want you to smite the water and turn all the waters of Egypt to blood." You remember that miracle? I mean, all the waters of Egypt turned to blood. And if you'll turn with me all the way down to verse number 22, verse 21. "The fish that was in the river died, the river stank, the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said." So in other words, when the Lord turned the waters to blood, the devil-worshipping magicians did the same thing. I got you thinking now, it's getting quiet. Chapter number 8. Go with me. Chapter number 8. Verse 5, "The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying to Aaron, unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. Do you see that? God said, I want you to have frogs come upon the land. Can you imagine y'all out here in the parking lot, frogs hopping? I mean, you'd have played frog right here all over the place, frogs. And those devil worshiping magicians, they said, we can do it too. And now one of them's working by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God, and one of them's working by the power of the devil. The devil's got power, y'all. He does have power, but God's got greater power. He's got greater. Do you believe me? Chapter 8, verse number 16. Next miracle. The Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. Do you see that? They tried and they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beasts. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Now what was it Jesus was saying back? He said in the book of Luke, he said, but if I cast out devils with the finger of God, immediately this situation, them accusing him and doubting him, in his great, wonderful mind of the Son of God, he went all the way back in the Scriptures and remembered this place where the devil worshiping magicians, the very ones that trusted the devil, said, we can't do that. This is the finger of God. Ain't that amazing? That may not bless you very much, but in the book of Deuteronomy, there's another time where Moses is telling this rebellious crowd who's come against him, he says, listen, the tables of the Ten Commandments of stone were written with the finger of God. The very Scriptures themselves are written with the finger of God. What he's trying to say is the very finger of God has more power than the devil has. Are you with me? Now let's go back to our story in the book of Luke chapter 11. He says, with the very finger of God, I cast out devils. Now, we want to do a little word study on each one of these words, and I'll try to be real quick. If you cast out devils, what does it mean? It means you throw them out. He grabbed them and threw them right out of this man. And the Bible says, no doubt when this happens, the kingdom of God is come upon you. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a Christ. Here stands a Messiah before them. They say he's the prince of devils, or he's working by the prince of devils. You know what blasphemy they're committing? They're not just blaspheming the Son of God. Did you realize you can blaspheme the name of Jesus and it be forgiven you? He says, if you blaspheme the name of God or the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that it will be forgiven you. But blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. It is unpardonable if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. What have they blasphemed? Jesus said, I am casting out devils by the finger of God. Then he said, Matthew, I'm casting out devils by the Spirit of God. And they say, you're casting out devils by Beelzebub. They have therefore blasphemed not just the Son of God, but the Spirit of God. That is unpardonable. I don't care who you are. You will never get forgiveness if you blaspheme God's Holy Spirit. J. Harold Smith, I didn't mean to say this morning, but I remember J. Harold Smith was preaching, and he was down in Arena, down in Louisiana, and there were some in a civic center, and he was preaching, and there were three men up at the top of the civic center in the balcony that were making light and fun of people that were coming down getting saved. And they said, there goes our poker, buddy. We'll see if it lasts till next Friday when we play poker again. There goes our drinking, buddy. We'll see if you're still saved come Saturday night when we go to get drunk again. And they begin to laugh and make fun. And they were saying it openly, y'all. Can you imagine during the invitation this morning if people started ridiculing people coming to the altar? What a disturbance it would make in the service. I mean, you know what? During the invitation, the Spirit is working. Has you ever felt conviction? Have you ever felt Him put His finger on your life? He's working. And if someone starts making a disturbance, making light of it, they're laughing at the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And the preacher looked and he said, I said, God, let me backslide about 10 minutes. And I'll go up there and beat the devil out of all three of them for messing up his service. And God said, I didn't call you to fight. I called you to preach. You give them to me. And he said, y'all look, you see those three men? And the whole arena looked, said, tomorrow, by this time, they'll all be in hell because they blasphemed God's Holy Ghost. They laughed. They shrugged their shoulders thinking, hey, God ain't going to kill us. We're healthy men. We're men of well rapport through this community. And next morning, about breakfast time, one of them got up. He walked across the road, going to his shop, put his key in the shop, fell over dead with a heart attack, went to hell. Lunchtime, the other one was crossing the street to the sandwich shop. He stopped and dropped in the middle of the road, middle of the highway, crossed the intersection, had a massive stroke, dead on the scene. And that night, the third one walked over and looked at his secretary and he said, my two buddies are in hell right now, just like that preacher said. And he said, I know before the sun goes down, I'll die myself. And the secretary will tell you that he pitched over backwards, dead with a heart attack, right then and there. Nothing was wrong with them before. What happened? They blasphemed God's Holy Ghost. You better be careful what you say about what God's doing. Now, Jesus Christ, he is telling them, I'm casting out devils. And do you realize that every time somebody gets saved, the devil's had a power on their life to hold them, and the Lord Jesus Christ has set them free, and the Holy Ghost moves inside? You better be careful what you say about whether somebody got saved or not. That's up to God. That's up to Jesus. That's up to the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I want you to see something here. Jesus is saying, therefore, you know the kingdom of God is at hand. He is the kingdom of God. He is the Son of God. He said, you see these things? You don't need a miracle. I'm here. Look what he says in verse 21. And we've seen the situation. Our second point is the strong man. I want you to see the strong man. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are at peace. I want to break this verse down. This verse represents the devil, Satan, old Satan. He calls him a strong man. A strong man in the Greek. I got up my Greek New Testament and broke down all these words. The strong man means this, one who is forceful, one who fights to hold on to something. Not only is a strong man forceful, but my Bible says he's armed. Is that what yours says? That he is armed. That means he is intensively loaded with weapons and tools and utensils to fight with. Not only is he strong, but he has weaponry. He is fully armed. My Bible says he keepeth his palace. To keep something means it's guarded. The word keepeth means present tense. He's watching and guarding. He is doing everything he can to make sure his dwelling place is safe, sound, and secure. That's what the devil wants to do. Hey, when I was lost, he lived in me. He had me. He did everything he could do to keep me away from church, away from the preaching of the word, away from the word of God. He did everything he could to distract me and make sure that his residence was safe. Not only does he keep his palace. What is a palace? A palace in the Greek is an open, wide area in which one dwells, in which one rules, reigns, or resides. Hey, the devil was reigning and residing and ruling in my life before I got saved. And you don't need to look at me like that. You is the same way, dear friend. He reigned and ruled in your life. He is the prince and the power of the air, and this world is his palace, and my life had become his throne. The strong man was armed and was keeping his palace in my soul. And my Bible says, his goods, that's his possessions, maybe even his subjects. I was a subject of his. Yes, he ruled in my life, and I didn't necessarily worship him, but I didn't exactly break up with him either. I ran with him for many a year in my life. I can tell you there's a devil because I used to run with him. I know. I used to do business with him regularly. My Bible says his goods are in peace. Now that bothered me to know that the devil... What does that mean? The devil can give peace. Oh, yeah. You know what peace means in the Greek? Absence of war. When I was lost, I wasn't concerned I was lost. The devil kept me and watched me and secured me and made me confident about I had a good opinion of myself. I'm a good old boy. I'm going to be all right. The devil, my friend, gave me a false peace, a false assurance, a false security. That's what the strong man wanted to do. He wanted me, my friend, to be confident and prosperous. And it looked like I was, if your goods are at peace, That means the devil's in control in your life and everything looks good. You know, a lost man is not going to get saved until he realizes he's lost. And lost men don't know they're lost. Unless the Spirit of God comes to convict them. You'll never get saved if you get lost. Well, I remember the night I got lost. Blessed be the day I got lost. It wasn't a good feeling, but blessed be the day I got lost. Do you see the strong man representing Satan? Now I want you to see the stronger man. And this is our subject today. But, here he is, ruling, reigning, residing, and the devils give you a false assurance and a false peace. But when the stronger than he shall come upon him. Hey, blessed be God. One night, when I wasn't looking back, right on Satan's turf, in walked the Spirit of God. Hey, you're lost and going to hell, and the devil rules and reigns in your life. What? Boy, the devil, it was a surprise attack. Devil wasn't looking for him to come that night. He thought he had me. Hey, he wasn't. I was in church. Well, that's okay. I'll get him to think about football this afternoon and think about the race this afternoon and think about who he's going to eat lunch with. And I'll get his mind off the subject today. And oh, he's a good boy. He went to church. Pat him on the back. And then one day the Holy Ghost came. The preaching of the word got a hold of me, Brother John. And the Holy Ghost came and spoke to me about getting saved. And the devil, it was a surprise attack. Amen. Woo! He wasn't looking for him to come, but here came Jesus. Amen. Right on time, y'all, to preach to me. Hey, when a stronger than he is come upon him and overcome him. Now, Jesus came and he attacked him. On Satan's turf, he ruled and reigned in this world. But was Jesus not born of a virgin? Did he not live a sinless, spotless life? Did he not crucify him on this earth? On Satan's turf, there hung the Son of God dead. And it looked like Satan had won a great battle. It looked like, aha, I'm a strong man, I've got him. But blessed be God on the third day. One stronger than he got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And said, I'm alive and well. And I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And no longer are you in charge, devil. I'm ruling and reigning in this place. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that one stronger than the devil came one day and has set us free. Bless his name. I get to thinking about the very fact that he's come upon him and he's overcome him. How did he overcome him? Oh, by the blood. By the blood that he shed and by his victory and resurrection. Hey, I'm glad we sung this morning. Victory in Jesus. There ain't victory in anything else but in Jesus Christ. Amen. He has set us free. Now, I want us to think about this. If the Lord's come upon him at Calvary and he overcame him at the empty tomb, that's the heart of the battle, y'all. You realize the battle, the heart of the battle is over. You're looking at me. The heart of the battle is over. Jesus has won the victory. The strong man is defeated. The stronger man reigns supreme. Well then, look, what are we still doing here then if the battle's over? Mopping up exercises. We got a few more things just to clean up around here, amen? You ever had a mop up detail? I'm telling you, the heart of the battle's over, but you got to clean up some things we got to get cleaned up. I want you to look what the Lord's going to do to the devil here after he's got him defeated. He's got him bound. My Bible says, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted. He taketh from him. You know, God, through Jesus Christ, when he defeated the devil, he took some things from him. He took his armor. He took his weaponry. What are you so afraid of? The devil, he's pulled his teeth. Amen. He's took his weaponry. You know what some of his armor is? Lying. He's the father of lies. But Jesus took that. Hey, Jesus is truth. We found out the devil's a liar and that Jesus is truth. The devil's a cheater. But Jesus is all that's honest. Amen. Hey, the devil, he's full of lust. But Jesus, we found out to be pure. The devil, he's full of pride. But Jesus is all that's humble. Amen. The devil, he's full of hatred and malice. But Jesus, we found out to be loved. Amen. Hey, the devil has got all kinds of stuff of sickness and sorrow and captivity and suffering. But Jesus, we found out to be liberty. And by his stripes, we are healed. Hey, the devil, he had the armor of death. But Jesus came and disarmed death And we found resurrection and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad when the devil was defeated, the Lord took some things from him. He said, you can't cheat him with death no more. You can't lie to him no more. I'm going to expose you for the very devil you are, and I'm going to tell him that all your armor's been taken away. Hey, Jesus has taken the armor from the strong man. And the Bible not only says that he took it from him, the Bible says he took it from him wherein he trusted. You know, the devil had confidence in his lies. He had confidence in death. He had confidence in all these things. But the Lord took it away. Now, that don't... I'm not going to paint you a rosy picture and tell you the devil's still not going to fight you. He's still going to lie to you, but you recognize the truth. He's still going to hate you, but you and try to get you to hate, but you recognize love. You recognize all these things. So basically, all the devil's got left is tactics. And if he's got tactics but no armory, he's a defeated foe. Hey, I want the devil to know. Oh, buddy, I used to run with you. God saved me. I'm an ex-sinner. I'm serving Jesus now. I just want to say this. Ain't it terrible to live an uneasy life? He's worried. The devil is worried sick. He's uneasy all the time. You remember what it's like to be uneasy? You was under conviction. You was uneasy, but you got saved. And what'd you get when you got saved? You got peace. Hey, the Bible says in Isaiah 26, this makes the devil mad, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, whom trusteth in thee. Hey, God's give us perfect peace. The devil ain't got no peace. He's prowling around. He's worried to death. He knows he's worried today. Boy, what if there's somebody there? He might get saved today. He's doing all he can, but he ain't got no armor no more. He can't hold you where you are. You have your own free will to make a choice to choose Jesus and let him in. Amen. The stronger man. Not only is he taking his armor wherein he trusted, my Bible says he divideth. What does that mean? He shares. He distributes. He gives throughout the crowd. What does he give? His spoils. The bounty of the battle. He gives us the plunder of war. He gives the spoils to you and I. You know what? Preacher, I don't think I want the devil's spoils. Oh, let me tell you what he was trying to spoil then. You know what that word spoil means in the Greek? It's the word skulion. It means to skin. I'm glad the devil's been skinned, ain't you? Amen. He's been skinned out, amen, and exposed for the rascal that he really is. And what he was trying to do was, he wanted to spoil your life. And God, through Jesus Christ, has took those spoils and made them gifts to you. Gifts of what? Gifts of preaching. Gifts of teaching. Oh, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. You're looking at me funny, preacher. I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, God has taken the spoils of war and turned it into a gift. I'm almost done. Don't get worried. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read verse 7. But unto every one of us, come on, but unto every one of us is given grace. That's some of the spoils of war. To have the divine favor of the stronger man. That's the spoils of war because the other one ruled in our life. And every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. If someone wins a battle and gives you the spoils, the booty, the bounty of war, it's a gift. The gift of Christ. He had spoiled us from having Jesus as our Savior. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Read down here in verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see what he's done? He's given every one of you a gift. You may not be a preacher, but you may be a prayer warrior. You may not even be the prayer warrior. You might have a great testimony. I don't know what God's given you. It may be the gift of giving. I don't know. But God has given you a gift. And as long as the devil, the strong man, ruled in your life, he spoiled your victory. You couldn't receive the gifts God had for you until the stronger man came. Do you remember what it's like? That night you were sitting there, and you felt like everything was okay. And somehow the preacher preached to you, and spoke peace to your life for the first time, and you got lost, Jesus came and saved you, and the stronger man kicked out the devil, and the stronger man moved inside. You never had peace like that, did you? Never had victory like that, did you? I'm glad this morning for the stronger man. And my Bible says in verse 23 of Luke 11, we're going to close. It says this. It says that, lost my place. Luke chapter 11, verse 21. Where was I at? 14? 23. I'm on 12. He that is not with me is against me. That tells me this. There's no neutral ground.
Right.
If you think today, well, I'm not really on the devil's side, but I'm not really on the Lord's side either. There's no neutral ground.
Right.
He that's not with me is against me. Right. Friend, I want to tell you today, those Old Testament scriptures we read, Moses was moving by the finger, by the hand of God, and the devil could mimic some things. God wants to give you peace. The devil will try to mimic peace to you. God wants to give you salvation. The devil can't produce that. All he's going to produce is captivity, sickness, sorrow, suffering, death, hell, and the grave. But in Jesus Christ our Lord, we have victory. We have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. You stand with me this morning. You may say to me today, preacher, I know somebody this morning. I know them. They're lost. They need to be saved. I really feel this. I feel the devil fighting me on just giving an invitation this morning. I'm going to give it anyway. I want y'all to come, the instruments, if you would. The devil's trying to fight me out of this morning. But there may be somebody here. The stronger man wants to reign in your life. There may be somebody else here today. You got a friend. In fact, me and Brother Jerry's talking about somebody this morning that's going to go to church and need to be saved. We ought to be praying for them that when the stronger man comes, they'll let him in.
Amen.
Amen. We have a will. We have a will. We have a choice whether we receive Jesus or not. Well, we need to be praying for people that when the Word of God's preached, that the Holy Ghost will lay His finger on their life, knock on their heart's door that they might be saved. I'm telling you what, they think they have peace and they think they have it made, but they don't have anything without Jesus. Nothing. If you'd bow your head this morning, I don't know. There may be somebody here, you're lost today. The strong man's trying to ruin your life. Let the stronger man take over. Maybe somebody else here today say, preacher, I know somebody's in trouble and I'm going to run up that altar, bless y'all, and I want to pray for them today, that they'd recognize the stronger man and they would allow him to rule and reign in their life and move in and give them victory. There may be somebody today say, preacher, I know somebody that I believe are saved, but surely they've backslid. They've backslid. And I'm praying today that the stronger man, he'd be asked to move him out and that he'd rule and reign in their life once more. I'm glad today, ain't you? Maybe there's somebody, you need to come to this altar just like I feel this morning. Lord, thank you for taking away the devil's armor and his weapons. I don't know what I've done. How could I possibly? Oh, but blessed be God. Jesus has given us victory and has disarmed that old devil. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you this morning for these that's in this altar. God, they have specific needs in their family, with their loved ones and their friends. God, you know this exactly, the ones that they plead and pray for this morning. And I pray, God, that the stronger man who's already defeated the devil at Calvary would once more come and knock on a heart's door and bring conviction that they might be saved, that the strong man might be cast out, and that he might be defeated in their life, and that the stronger man might move in. Lord, I pray today, God, that you would touch this people. And God, I thank you today for setting us free,
through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Lord, we love You. We thank You, God, for setting us free. No longer are we bound by the Lord of the flies. Oh, no longer are we bound by that old devil. But now he's a defeated foe. We're going through mopping up exercises. Help us, God, then to know the heart of the battle is over. Victory has been won. And we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray You'd save these ones that are in need of salvation before it's everlasting too late. For we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen.